Either. I've never seen the inside of a whale, but I have seen the inside of a lot of fishes. Amen. Amen. Any of y'all ever cleaned a fish?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not pretty.
No.
It's nasty in there.
Yeah.
It stinks. Yeah. It's dark. It's ugly. It's dank. I can sit here and give you all the science on how a man can live inside a whale, and they ain't disproved it yet. Hear me now. A whale, you know what's interesting about a whale? This ain't got nothing to do with my message. I'm going to preach this short. You know what's interesting about a whale? A whale's a mammal. You know what that means? It means he breathes air like we do. He got a little hole in the top of him. He comes up at the top of the water and sucks in air through that hole, then goes back down the water. Where's that air go? Must have went in there wherever Jonah was.
Yeah.
Because Jonah was in there for 3 days and didn't die. If there wasn't no air in there, I'm pretty sure he would have died. Somebody will say amen right there. I ain't no scientist, but I can figure that one out. Hey, listen. All I know is the belly of a whale is not somewhere you want to be.
Yeah.
Not only that, but Jonah was not in that place by happenstance or by accident. God put Jonah there, but hear me out right now. Jonah put Jonah there. And so verse number 1 of chapter number 2. After 3 days of this and 3 nights, look at what verse number 1 of chapter number 2 says. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Father, help us tonight, God, as we study and glean from your word. God, give us something that will help us in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I find this very interesting. You can go study me out in chapter number 1, and you can see that Jonah was not what I would call a praying man up to this point. Now, I don't know what happened in Jonah's life before the beginning of Jonah chapter number 1, when God started to speak to him and call him to this ministry in Nineveh. But nowhere in chapter number 1 does it tell us that Jonah prayed unto the Lord. He spoke to the Lord. He responded to the Lord in a negative response. But nowhere in there, when before he decided he was going to go to Tarshish, Jonah didn't pray. Before he decided he was going to go to Joppa, Jonah didn't pray. Don't know where in there in chapter number 1 does it say Jonah prayed to the Lord while he was boarding the ship. Don't say that. When the storm came on the ship, Jonah didn't pray. You say why? Because he already knew. Even the heathens on the ship prayed. Look what your Bible says, chapter number 1, verse number 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. That's them heathens on the ship. Even they prayed. Jonah didn't pray. But 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, Jonah finally came to the realization, this would be a good time to talk to God. I've done encountered a situation. I've got myself into a mess that I can't get out of. Let me give you this about Jonah's prayer, the untimeliness of his prayer. I mean, it was a little late. Let's be honest. I don't know how far I'd have to get in rebellion against God before I was willing to pray to him, but I'd like to think it ain't this far.
Amen.
I mean, he didn't pray when the storm started. He didn't pray when the men of the ship began to realize that it was his fault. He didn't pray when he realized it was his fault. He didn't pray as he was falling off the side of the boat. He didn't pray when he hit the water and fell right into the mouth of a whale. He could have prayed, as I said, before he ever left his home and not ever gotten in this situation. Heck, he could have just listened in the first place.
Amen.
That would have been a pretty good way to go. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but from where Jonah was sitting, I'd have been saying, so what were you thinking way back yonder when God said go to Nineveh? You should have just said, aye.
The funniest, most ironic part of the book of Jonah is when the whale spits him out, he spits him out on the shores of Nineveh.
Like, hey, look, you win anyway. Listen, the untimeliness of his prayer, he waited too long. Listen to me now. What I'm saying is, Jonah got himself in a mess. And instead of recognizing the situation as it was happening, he didn't recognize or realize what he needed to do until he was so far gone that the circumstances he was in is almost ridiculous. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say amen.
Amen.
You ever found yourself in a position and you just think, wow, did I really need to take it this far?
That's right.
I mean, did I really need, was it really worth all this? I just can't, I mean, I could tell you stories all day about myself, I don't want to glorify sin here. I just say there's been times in my life when I looked around and thought, did I really need to go this far? I mean, did it really have to get to this point? Listen to me now. Was it really worth it? Hey, listen. What I'm saying is, if you can learn something from Jonah, learn to pray before you spend 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. What he should have done was had a reasonable conversation with the Lord in the first place. What he did was he acted like a rebellious child. God said, go. He said, uh-oh. I ain't going to do it. Can I tell you something? God's plan's going to unfold with or without you. God knows what he's doing. He ain't never been wrong. He knows exactly what's going on. Listen to me now. The untimeliness of Jonah's prayer led him down a path that he did not have to go down. Not only that, but the irony of his prayer. Here's the ironic thing about all this. This situation was wholly and entirely created by Jonah. This wasn't God's fault. It wasn't the shipmaster's fault. It was Jonah's fault. Jonah's the one that disagreed with God. Jonah's the one that chose his own path. Jonah couldn't blame nobody but himself. If I had to guess, I wasn't there, but if I had to guess, because I know people, the thing that caused Jonah to wait 3 days and three nights before he prayed to God is a little something called pride. And listen to me now, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jonah didn't want to talk to the Lord because he knew he was wrong. It's a whole lot easier to get through to somebody who is ignorant rather than somebody that knows they're wrong but don't want to admit it.
Amen.
The hardest nut to crack is the person who is already knows that they made the wrong move, but they don't want you to know. Which is so foolish because everybody looking at Jonah could see Jonah messed up. It won't hard to figure out. You know what pride will do? It'll paint you in a corner. And everybody else will be looking at you in the corner going, hey, stupid, just step out of the corner. All you got to do is recognize what you've done and just, we're here for you. Just undo it. I can't tell how many times I've talked to somebody and I'm going, hey, man, just don't do that. Just don't do it. Just say, all right, that ain't, I'm going to go a different way. All Jonah had to do every step of the way here, he went down and down and down. You know what the beautiful thing about going down is? It's the same but opposite. It's the same trajectory. It's the opposite direction, but it's the same trajectory as up.
That's right.
If you know which way down is, you know which way up is.
Amen.
If you know which way it takes you to run away from God, you know how to get back to Him.
Amen.
Let me give you a case in point. If you know that in your rebellion, you don't want to come to church because it's going to get you under conviction, then you already have the solution. You already know how to fix the problem. That's what's so silly about it. You already know what's wrong because you know what's wrong. The irony of it is, Jonah couldn't blame nobody but himself, all the way to the point that it was Jonah's idea for them to throw him overboard. They were going to let him slide. They were going to ride the storm out. Go look at your Bible. They was going to ride it out. They said, hey, no, don't do that. Man, that's crazy. We'll just see what happens. They was trying to figure out another way. Jonah said, look, just throw me overboard. That was Jonah's idea. The whale wasn't Jonah's idea, but going into the ocean was. The irony of this prayer of Jonah. Here's what I want you to see. Don't miss this. And then I'll preach the third point and we'll be done. But the irony of this whole situation is that Jonah got himself into this mess, but God still heard his prayer. I'll say this before I go to my last point. Thank God that he hears and answers our prayers.
Amen.
Even in the consequences of our own angst and stupidity.
Amen.
even in the rubble that we create, God is still faithful. God is still merciful. God is still gracious. God was still moving Jonah toward Nineveh. He had an agenda with Jonah's life. But that whale represents grace. Mm-hmm. Although it represents a great trial, in evidence of that, Jesus said that when he went into the belly of the earth, it was going to be like when Jonah went into the belly of the whale. That's not good. That's a hard thing. That's a bad situation. And Jonah, the difference is, Jonah got himself in there because of his sin. Jesus went in there because of our sin. I preached about 4 hours right there. But hear me out. Jonah got in this mess, but the whale is still, just as much as the tomb of Jesus was a picture of grace, this whale is a picture of the grace of God. I want you to think about this. The Bible says that God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That means that God had pulled coal out of the whale somewhere in the ocean and said, now, don't you hang around right here, Leroy. You just stay right here and just hang out, and I'm going to give you everything you need for however long it takes. And one day, I'm going to holler at you, and I'm going to say, open your mouth. Mm-hmm. You just do what I tell you to do. A whale. Y'all ever seen a whale? That's a big fish. I don't believe I can make a whale do nothing. God can. God had prepared for this situation. Isn't that funny? God already knew what Jonah was going to do. You think, hey, listen, that whenever you get to thinking you're real smart, just remember God already knows what you're going to do. You ain't going to outsmart him. Jonah thought he was going to kill himself right here. That's what he thought. He thought he was going to get off easy. I'm going to jump in the ocean, drown, it's going to be over with. And I ain't got to go to Nineveh. The Lord said, huh, we'll see about that. Come here, Whaley. Open up. Here he comes. Don't chew on him. I mean, don't bite him. Just swallow him down. Listen. That's the grace of God.
Amen.
In Jonah's downfall of his own creation. What a gracious and merciful God. That he would prepare a mode of grace for a man who was destroying his own life. I'm telling you, listen to me now, when you find yourself in a situation of untimely prayer, in a situation of destruction of your own making, don't forget this. If Jonah could pray to the Lord out of the belly of the whale and receive a response, then you can pray to him out of the belly of the circumstance that you found yourself in, and God will respond. God is faithful whether you've been good or whether you've been bad. He ain't like Santa Claus. Listen, he might have seen what you were doing, but it didn't make him love you no less. He doesn't have a list of Christians who he ain't listening to today. Listen to me. God is looking for you to turn to him, and he has prepared a method, a mode of grace for when you are ready to do so.
Amen.
I believe that no matter where Jonah repented on this journey, God had something prepared for him. I believe if Jonah would have got to that ship in Joppa as it left the dock, and he would have said, you know what, Lord, I was wrong. I need to go back. I believe God would have sent a dolphin up beside the ship and said, all right, Jonah, jump on. He'd take him back shore. I mean, really, I don't know how he would have done it. But I'm telling you, I believe if Jonah had got down to Joppa and said, Lord,
After this long journey, I've just had done some thinking. I think I need to go back home, and I need to go back and go to Nineveh like you told me to. I believe a fresh donkey would have come walking by right about then. I believe God had prepared for every scenario in that in his desire for Jonah's repentance. In his desire for Jonah's recognition, God prepared methods of grace.
Jonah's untimely prayer, the irony of his prayer, but then I want you to see this, the realization of his prayer. This is where it gets good. Verse 2 through 8, I'm going to be real honest with you. Now, I would never downplay any scripture. All scriptures give my inspiration to God. I believe that. I'll die on that hill. Everything in your Bible is important. But hear me out right here. Verse 2 through 8 is not the part of this prayer that's important to the context of what we're talking about right here. This is mainly, verse 2 through 8 of chapter 2 is mainly just Jonah talking about how Jonah felt. He was saying, Lord, I've done messed slam up. I'm going to translate it for you. I got myself in a mess, Lord. I don't deserve no help. I know I've done this. This is my fault. I've been down. Look at verse number 6. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. You done took me as low as you can take me. You could sum up the whole section of verse 2 through 8 with two words. I wrote this in my notes. Oops and ouch. Y'all ever prayed a prayer like that? Whoops, I messed up, Lord. Ouch, that hurt. I shouldn't have done that. Listen, but in verse 9, he got some traction. Listen to verse number 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, and salvation is of the Lord. He said three things in here that mattered, and then I'll quit. Here's what he said. Number one, he said, I'll be thankful. He said, Lord, I'm going to be thankful. Here I am in a mess. I'm in the lowest low point that I've ever been in. Nothing good's going on right now. But here's what I'm going to do, Lord, because I know this is what you want from me. I'm going to be thankful. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee. Look what the Bible says. With the voice of thanksgiving. Not with the cattle of thanksgiving or the doves of thanksgiving. With my voice. That's the thing that comes out of your mouth that makes a sound. He said, I'm going to tell you, Lord, I'm thankful. Thank you for sending the whale. Thank you for not letting me die. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for giving me direction. Thank you for giving me correction. I will sacrifice. Notice what he said now. It was a sacrifice. Yeah. That's interesting too. You know what a sacrifice is? That's when you give something up for something else. He said, you know what, Lord? I don't even know. Let me give you a paper towel version of this. Lord, I don't even know if I'm happy about this yet or not, but I'm going to be thankful. Thankfulness is a sacrifice. Because you know what you got to sacrifice to be thankful? You got to sacrifice all them things that you want but you don't have.
Amen.
If you don't sacrifice covetousness on the altar of thankfulness, you're never going to be thankful. To be appreciative of what God has done, you got to give up worrying about the things that He ain't done. He said, I'm going to be thankful. That's the first thing He said that was important. I'm talking about prayer in a time when Jonah was in a mess that he got himself into. He said, number one, I'm going to be thankful. Number two, He said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Look what He said. I will pay that I have vowed. You know what, Lord? You're right. I said somewhere along the line, to be in Jonah's position as a prophet, Jonah had probably said something like this. Lord, if you just tell me what to say, I'll say it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, I've prayed them prayers. Mm-hmm. I remember when God called me to preach. I said like this. Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Then I got to think about that thing later on.
Too late.
I mean, listen, I said, Lord, let's talk about this thing for a minute. Lord, I'll say whatever you want me to say. Listen, I've stood in front of some crowds of people and said some stuff that I didn't want to say. I've done that a whole lot here. Y'all, hey, listen to me now. When we talk about preaching on sin, and everybody says, oh, I like it hard preaching and the rough stepping on my toes and all, you think that's fun? Man, that's not fun. It's not fun for me to tell you something that I know you don't want to hear. I don't get nothing out of that. And listen, a man that does get something out of that probably ain't got no business behind the pulpit.
Amen.
I don't get nothing from that. It hurts me just like it hurts you. When I step on your toes, it hurts my feet. Hear me now. But I said, Lord, you give me the words, I'll say it.
Amen.
Lord, I'll take you at your word. Jonah had said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And God said, this is what I want you to do. Jonah said, But right here in his prayer of repentance, he said, not only am I going to sacrifice what I want, I'm going to be thankful for what you give me, but I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, Lord. Let me tell you something. You want to get right with God tonight? Here's a good prayer to pray. Lord, if you'll just give me some direction, I'll do my best to take that direction. Because you know what that means? That means you'll be walking. Bible says the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A lot of us want to see what's way down the path, but we're not going what God's already showed us. We're not acting on the light that we've already received. Jonah said, I'll be thankful. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. That's called a prayer of repentance, friend. Listen, you cannot get right with God until you are willing to change your direction. You can't just keep doing the same thing and expect something to change. God's not going to change. You're going to have to change. And then look what he said. He said, I'll be thankful. He said, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And then he said this, the only way I'm getting out of here is you.
Look at the last line of that verse. Salvation is of the Lord. He said, you know what, Lord? Here's what I've come to realize in this position I'm in. I've come to realize I need to be thankful. I've come to realize I need to be obedient. And I've come to realize the only way I'm getting out of this is you. If there's a solution, you're the only one that's got it. Boy, hey, listen, ain't nothing like a low point to make you realize you cannot lift your own self up.
Amen.
There ain't nothing like a valley to make you to make you realize how far down you really can get. And listen to me, how big the mountain really is. Are you listening to me? Jonah said, God, I can see from here that you're the only way out. I don't like that it took him getting to that point, but I want to say thank God for the belly of the whale. If that's what it took to get Jonah to recognize that God was the answer to his problem, not the creator of his problem, then thank God for the whale. Thank God for the whale's belly. Thank God for the mess that Jonah was in. Hey, listen to me. If that's what it took to get him there, I'm telling you, I have pursued for the last decade or so, I have pursued after souls and went after people and tried to bring people to Jesus. And I'm telling you, you call me what you want, you can think of it what you want. But there's been times that I've had to look at somebody and in my heart say, Lord, I don't want to see nothing bad happen to nobody. But Lord, if there's a point that you can get them to, that'll get them to see you, let's do that.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I've had a few where I've prayed like this, Lord, I can see that you're going to have to take them real far down. Spare their life and take them as far as you need to take them. Jonah said, the only way I'm getting out of here is if you get me out. And that acknowledgement, this is what's beautiful about this story. When he said what he said in verse number 9, y'all know I like these paragraph markers in my Bible. If you got paragraph markers in your Bible, there's one right in front of verse 10. We shift a whole nother gear. As soon as Jonah acknowledged that the Lord was the only one that could get him out. Look at verse number 10. I love that it does not say the Lord spoke to Jonah. There's a window of time in here. There's a window of time in here when God had already orchestrated Jonah's rescue, but Jonah didn't know about it. So what's that? What happens in that period? Faith. Look at this. God, y'all know God don't have to tell you everything that's going on. You know he don't owe you no explanations. Look at this, verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. He didn't know. What did he need to speak to Jonah? What was he going to say? All right, well, hold on a minute. I'm going to talk to the fish. No, listen. Jonah said everything needed to be said. God immediately, before Jonah even could recognize it, Jonah didn't realize his redemption until the second half of that verse, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Jonah didn't recognize his redemption until he was standing on the shores of Nineveh. But way before that, as soon as Jonah prayed his prayer, God changed his direction.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hear me out right here. A lot of times, the reason we don't see God's redemption is because our repentance didn't really mean nothing to us. Jonah held his peace until he saw the outcome. Might be that some of us need to pray some prayers and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up till I see what you're going to do about it. Jonah didn't come. Hey, listen, I don't know how long it took that whale to get to the place where it spit Jonah out. Whale don't swim so fast. He's got to come all the way from the ocean up into the beach. I wonder how Jonah felt sitting in there thinking this thought. You ever thought this thought? I wonder if the Lord's going to do it. That's called faith. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Matter of fact, if you don't have nothing to doubt, you're not believing in much. Jonah had to believe God between the moment of repentance and the moment of redemption. I want to say this. Some of us have had our moment of repentance. We've said, Lord, we want to get this thing right. And we have not yet seen what the other side of that looks like. I want to say, just keep on breathing, friend. Just keep on waiting him out. Don't give up. Don't try to fix it on your own. Don't start trying to fight your way out. Just let God be God. Because God's already done things that you don't know nothing about. I've talked to a lot of fish, but I don't think none of them's ever understood me. But God's not operating on the same wavelength we are. His rescue came behind his realization. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. And if that wasn't enough, I'm done, but I just want to give you this. Chapter number 3 and verse number 1 is probably one of the most amazing verses in this whole book to me. Because here's what it says. After all of this, after Jonah had messed everything up, here's what Jonah did. Exactly what Jonah wasn't supposed to do. Everything that he wasn't supposed to do, he done. If I was God, thank God I'm not. If I was God, even after redeeming him from this situation, I'd have said, now carry your book back to the house. I don't want to hear from you no more. But look what your Bible says, chapter 3, verse number 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The same message. God said, all right, Jonah, here we go again. Let's go to Nineveh. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that when I've fallen in the ditch and come back out the other side, and again, the word of the Lord came again. Again, God, hallelujah. That's the beauty of the grace of God.
Amen.